And very pleasant good morning. What are you looking at, General?
Sounds like something. What is that, the song?
Yes, General. This is it's what they call sampling.
Sampling, huh? I wouldn't want to sample that. I'd need a taster first, because I might just... I'd probably forget it.
You should talk about heaven.
I think I'd crap my guts out if I was actually... If that were food, I'd crap my guts right out.
Thank you, and welcome to the show. All right, so...
Is this that? This is the G-Eazy, right? He's the white one.
So what difference does that make?
Well, I think... Turn it up, Phil, please. Yes, I think the white rappers, the advertisers like them, they like the fact that they can put them in a print ad and they don't look so thuggish, you know.
Well, now, isn't that just the finest racist...
Wait. Don't you say that about me.
No, that's basically what you're saying, ain't it?
No, I'm saying that's what the advertisers want. Are you hearing? You have got a lot of nerve saying that.
Yeah, Ms. Wright, if you repeat that, that only perpetrates the stereotype.
Hey, get a load of you, perpetrates the stereotype. What are we, all of a sudden, sociology class?
Well, I mean, I don't see that that's such a wrong observation.
I'm not perpetrating anything. I'd like you to listen to me for a moment.
God is great. You better back it off.
You better back off of me, young man, or you're going to find my fist buried somewhere.
Jesus.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's right. No, I'm not. No. Yeah, whatever you're thinking, yes. Why are you smiling?
It might feel good.
Why, you filthy...
Come on. Please, not now. Not now. Not while I'm still waking up.
I'm saying the following thing. That this G-Eazy slob, whatever, I don't know who he is.
This guy, G-Eazy, this is a white man.
Yes, he's white. G-Eazy represents an opportunity, I think, for advertisers. It represents an opportunity for the record company. It represents an opportunity for the teen magazines to show the young white man as very, very edgy and very much on the front edge of the curve. You see, Phil?
Yes, I understand.
Well, now, isn't that Mr. Henry already understands? I should never have... Hey!
That was great. You're very hip.
I'm not hip. I know what you're saying, though. I know exactly what you're saying. And while I don't blame you, I'm not saying you're a racist.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but that's kind of a racist point of view.
Well, I mean, it's the reality. I mean, yeah, is it racist to say that this cat sells probably more whatever the hell moose product, you know, whatever a young girl would be buying? It's an observation of reality.
What do you mean it's an observation of reality? First of all, if I caught any daughter of mine listening to some oily, greasy creep like that,
this is the cat that people are listening to, okay? If you're a young person, especially a young chick, you might be listening to G-Eazy.
G-Eazy, is this the guy's name? This is the name they gave him, huh?
No, this is the name he took for himself.
Yeah, General, it's kind of a stage name.
Oh, I see, Jay. Okay, I understand.
Yes, and they take these names, General. And G-Eazy, Oil, you know, Oil Boy. I don't know what they call themselves.
Oil Boy? Forget it, man.
All right. I don't know. That's not a very accurate thing, Margaret.
Well, I don't know, Phil.
All right, so... I believe what's happening here is the observation is the following. The culture, the society we live in, this dude may sell more shit, you know, whatever it is they're selling, than some black guy who the perception of the guy is that he is a gangbanger or something like that. Now, I don't know anything about this G-Eazy dude. He probably grew up, you know, and he grew up in a white home with a white mom and a bunch of white people, and he hung out with black guys because he wanted to learn how to rap, and so he went from sort of whatever, you know, maybe he was in a protected environment.
Well, he's saying if he grew up like a white guy, he was not a criminal.
I'm just saying the reality of the world. All I'm saying is the reality of the world. I don't know how he grew up. Maybe he grew up like a swine. But the perception is this, Robert, whether the guy grew up as a hood or whether he grew up as a good, clean, you know, look at Drake grew up, you know, in a wealthy home. But people are going to perceive Drake as being some kind of an asshole because he raps about being an asshole. He celebrates that.
Yeah, that's the thing about this Drake guy. That guy celebrates. He goes out each and every day and parties to the idea that he's a dickhead.
Well, you know, I don't like those words, but you may be right.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
All right, but, I mean, the point is that this dude, G-Eazy, I mean, for better or for worse, whoever he is and whatever he does and why ever he does it, yeah, he may actually sell more. He may be a better commercial spokesman.
Because he's white.
Not, you know, I don't know, man. I mean, you could get a guy in there that's white that isn't going to sell as much shit. What if I put just that dude, you know, Lemmy from Motorhead? You think he's going to sell stuff to teenage girls?
Who?
Yeah, all right. So let's just get to the traffic here before I start to flip my lid, if you don't mind. World famous Phil Henry Show. Bob Bacon, what's up?
Hey, brother. I'm talking about Phil. I've got to drink the G-Eazy. I'm going to hold a boy through because I got a hold a boy up here right now. Doing that. Hey, on the Pondown Private Freeway, I've got a hello, hello, Bob Bunsen. And I'm loving you, Mahala. You know that song? Okay, well, down here, see, but you're up here in the freeway. You're going to find yourself out, Pat. You're going to find yourself with the pants out. Your pants are all the way down to the ground. It's down that long. Let's go over to Skyboy right now. Skyboy out on the west side. Skyboy?
Okay, right now. We got to stop telling Charlie. There's a car down there. People are going to go out there. Uh-oh, the second man's going to buy it. I'm going to go buy it. Better not buy that because you're going to find out you're going to have a hard time. And I thought it was. I'm going to see my little girl, happy little man came downtown. Little man came over to them, dump it. Little man came downtown.
All right, Skyboy, thanks, man. Hey, fuck it!
What happened to that jackball? Did you hear that?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, into the ring comes the Matador, and he is Phil Hendry.
Thank you.
This is a very intriguing song, isn't it? What's the name of this?
I don't know, man. It's from an album called The Documentary, The Game of Skillix. Is that it? It's a bonus track from something or other.
Skillix, man. Yeah, it's hip hop.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus, Henry, you went, yeah, I am the God.
All right, so welcome to our whatever the hell you call this thing each and every day, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We are going to be talking today with Chef Carl Cedilia. He has another recipe for us, doesn't he, bud?
Yeah, Chef Cedilia, going to be talking about the food that he makes.
Right. Chef Carl is with us. We also have Don Mixa on the top hipster cities in America. They just released a list of these things. And also, there's going to be an argument here. Dr. Ron Turner has, he wanted to talk about he wanted to talk about Friar Tuck.
Now, why would he want to talk about that?
Well, he's been reading something about Robin Hood and Friar Tuck, and but then he found out that you, Margaret, will be debating Larry Grover on the so-called Big Pivot. Is that what's going to be happening?
Well, yes. There is my feeling. Do you want me to talk about this now?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. I'm taking up your morning.
You know, I mean, you got to be talking to the other guy.
I want to hear what it's about.
There's a big pivot afoot, Phil, and General, and anyone else that it may be interested. The big pivot away from Hillary Clinton. Now, I am a supporter of Hillary Clinton, but I also feel that she is quite possibly a murderer.
Man, what are you talking about?
What does that mean?
You want me to say it again? I am a very big supporter of Hillary Clinton. I think she's good for women. I think she's good for our country. And I think she's been a very effective Secretary of State. But I think she also murdered four people in cold blood.
Get out of this Benghazi thing. Is that what this is?
Yes, but there is a big pivot away from that. According to Donald Trump in today's New York Post or whatever that news... What did they call it?
It's called the New York Times, right?
Something like that, yeah. But I like to say the phrase, according in today's New York Times, it sounds like it's like I'm reading the paper.
Which you're not.
Which I'm not, yes. Then we have... Oh, that's all I'm going to do.
Yeah, but then Steve Bozell is coming on after you, and he's going to be talking about... I think he's going to be talking about Ted Cruz. Jesus, you got all the politics.
Yeah, I thought we were going to keep away from the politics today.
Yeah, that suits me just fine, because all I do is start getting blood pressure going through the roof.
All right, well, we'll do the very best that we possibly can, General, with what it is we am doing here. Anyway, welcome to the program this morning. Chef Carl Cedilia is going to join us... to talk about his today's recipe. Do you know what it is, bud?
No, I know. I can get on the phone. Hey, Chef, hold on for a minute.
Well, don't be getting on the phone. You know, I don't like doing that getting on the phone thing.
Yeah, wait. Chef Cedilia? Chef Cedilia? Chef Cedilia?
Give me the phone. Hey, Chef, just hold on. Hello? Who's this?
That's my mom. But I wanted to...
Well, what are you talking to your mom for?
Yeah, Chef Cedilia?
Why are you saying that?
It's his nickname for his mother.
Yeah. Hold on, Mom. I can't use your name because Mr. Henry gets confused.
What the fuck?
Hey, watch the language, Henry.
Sorry.
Yeah, Chef Carl Cedilia, please. Yes, sir. How you doing?
Okay, and we're ready. What the hell are you doing, man? Get ready for the chef to do you. You know, one of these days, man, you're going to learn how to say that word. The name of that man, Chef Carl Chedilia, is on the phone with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and he's going to be talking to us today about whatever the hell it is that's going on there in his kitchen. God knows there's all kinds of good things. Chef Carl, how you doing this morning?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, Phil. I'm staying over here at the casket, but this is the place where I go and I find my ingredients. They're fusing. I can't hear what the music is hearing.
Turn the music down, bud.
Sorry about that.
All right, Chef, where you at?
I'm over here at a place called The Casket. This is a great shopping experience to buy the things that you need, things that you want for your kitchen. And I always love to keep my kitchen stocked with the very finest of things. There are some children here, families. It's quite the experience to go in here and buy different things for the kitchen.
Well, what are you buying today, Chef?
What I'm buying today is an old-fashioned deep fryer. You know, there's nothing in this world that is like a good deep fryer, so you can deep fry your chickens and deep fry your zucchinis.
And what are we making today?
We're going to be deep frying zucchini, and we're going to take that zucchini and lay it out on a display platter, and then just sit and eat it, because I don't have anything planned for the weekend.
What are you going to sit and eat it, Chef? They're not very healthy?
What do you mean it's not very healthy?
Wait, are you going to just make yourself some fried zucchini?
Hold on. Before you embarrass me with all these questions, I wanted to make sure. Is this a presentation or what?
Chef Chedilia,
is it presentational or what?
Yes, sir, it is. We were just going to ask you.
No, I know what you're going to ask me. What?
It sounds like you're going to strangle whatever you're eating.
The fact is that good news, by the way, Phil, can I break the news?
You stopped off. I'm sorry, what'd you get?
You called me a pig and you're the one belching right in the middle. Oh, my God.
You know, he's got a good point there, Phil. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, excuse me.
I don't think I made that noise.
Well, I think you did. At least I think you ain't talking to him. Anyway, what was your question?
My question is, so you're going to make zucchini, and you're going to...
I'm going to make zucchini. Oh, I know. I want to let everyone know, and this is wonderful news, that not only has McDonald's started to serve all the breakfast, but Jack in the Box has also...
It's called Jack in the Box.
I understand that, but the fat has congealed in my throat, and I can't say X, so I can only say Jack in the Box.
Yeah, okay, so what's going on?
Get a load of him. What's going on?
Phil, he just said Jack in the Box. I'm sorry, Jack in the Box is selling breakfast.
No, I hadn't gotten around to that.
I thought you were going to make that announcement because I read that myself.
See how everyone's really interested about you?
Jack in the Box is now selling breakfast. They've always sold breakfast.
Not 24 hours a day, oh... Didn't know that.
Yeah, Mr. I was going to tell you, but I forgot to tell you.
Yeah, we'll stop off and get a breakfast, fully loaded breakfast sandwich.
Hey, you guys, knock it off with the breakfast, okay?
That's how you used to say it when you were a kid.
I don't care that if that's how I said it as a kid. I don't want you guys to say it. I already said Todgidgin this morning when I was looking at something on TV.
Yeah, Ty, is that what you said when you were a kid? You called it Todgidgin?
Yeah, apparently I did.
Ain't that cute. Boy, you must have been some kind of a cute kid. Todgidgin. All right, so anyway, Chef Carl Chedilia here. Phil, can we introduce the segment again?
No, we cannot. We don't have time.
All right, welcome everybody to the Chef Carl Chedilia cooking segment. This morning, we're going to have a deep-fried zucchini. And can I just once... Hold on for a minute, Mary. Come here for a minute. My assistant is here. Would you go get me one of those Jack in the Box? You know, give them a hug. Because, Phil, what I want to do, I've already had the sunrise sandwich at Carl's Jr., which gave me diarrhea. I'm sorry to have to say that, but it did.
That's not really very appetizing, though, is it?
Jesus, Henry, why do you have to point that out?
Yeah, why did you point that out?
Because you said it, that's why.
I might have said it, and I might have meant it, but I'm trying to move past that. I'm comparing the different buffalo sandwiches.
Well, you're making fried zucchini this morning, so it doesn't make any difference.
Listen to you all of a sudden.
Well, you're making fried zucchini.
Margaret,
Look, Chef Chedilia, please, sir, do not mock. Please just do what you... Don't mock what Margaret said. I think it sounds very sexist.
Why does it sound sexist?
Because you're a guy mocking the woman's voice.
I'm a guy walking. Well, it's
You know, anybody mocking my voice with a voice like yours, especially with a congealed cheese in your throat, so you can only say Jack in the Box and not box, makes me wonder about a lot of things about you. What else do you have congealed, and where else?
Wow.
Well, all right.
Jesus H. Christ. Did anybody... I mean, did you get the full force of that?
Yeah, I pretty much did. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, me too.
All right, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Jesus. So, this morning, I got Mary going over to get me one of the breakfast sandwiches from Jack in the Box. And then she'll bring it back over here, and I'll test it. But I'll test it out, you know? You know what I mean, Phil?
You're going to test it out. Does that mean you're going to eat it?
Yes, that's what it means. You're eating it, right?
Yes, I'm going to eat it.
Well, then why don't you say it? You're not going to test it out. What's that mean? You're going to see whether that gives you diarrhea? Oh.
You know, I come on this program, I drag my ass out of bed to come on your sorry-ass show, and I take nothing but shit. You understand that?
I'm sorry. If we could just not keep getting bogged down in a lot of horse dung... and keep it moving.
How do we get bogged down a horse farm?
First of all, you're talking about which breakfast... First of all, you tell me which breakfast sandwich gives you diarrhea, man. Wrong. Wrong. Wrong.
Oh, okay, man. Sorry about that.
Would you knuckleheads just move it forward, please?
All right. You take some zucchini, you chop it up, put it in a deep fryer, pull it out, stick it on a plate, and... Ugh. Do you want me to say that?
No, I'd like you to do it now like a mature adult, as you were going to present it on my show originally. We're talking about fried zucchini here. We have Chef Carl Cedilia. Go ahead, Chef.
All right. Now, I recommend you use virgin olive oil, and you put it in a... Don't use a deep fryer, for Christ all... I'm only kidding about that, Phil. You don't want to do that.
I would wonder, Chef, if you could maybe watch your language.
No, I cannot watch my language. Anything else?
No.
Hold it. Yeah, is that it? Thank you. Is this the all-day sandwich? Is this the all-day sandwich? Hey, you. Who are you? Who's this guy? Well, I don't want him touching you. No, I know I'm... This is my assistant. Now, shove off, Charlie, before you get your ass kicked. Ah, yes. The Jack of the Box.
What the hell happened now?
That's my phone. Sorry. I had punched to the stomach.
Why did you call a cop or something?
No, I deserved it. All right.
No, you do not deserve that. Call a police officer.
I punched myself in the stomach, all right? I mouthed off to this kid. He was with Mary. She's my assistant. He looked like he might be putting the moves on him. So I upon her. She was putting moves on him. So I mouthed off to him, and then I thought better of it, and I punched myself in the stomach.
You know what? You know, Cedilia, you need you really need about a week or two in the best facility you can find.
Thank you.
You gonna pretend like you're hanging up?
You bet. There, I pretended like I hung up. All right, here's what we do.
Thank you.
Now, you take your zucchini, you put it in a pan. I want you to use that olive oil, very, very light and delicious olive oil. And I want that extra virgin stuff, all right? And I'm not saying extra virgin, bud, because I want it to be, because I want to use it to grease up, okay? I'm just anticipating Dickman.
All right.
And then what you do is you slice your zucchini. What I love to do is quarter the zucchini. You take the zucchini, cut it in half, and then quarter it. And then you have nice bite-sized sticks of zucchini. Now, the deep-frying process, Phil, is very, very slow. I don't want you throwing it into this boiling hot grease, and all of a sudden it's, you know, you're just searing in there. What you want to sear in the juices, yes. And you want to make sure that you are keeping the nice nutrient, but you also don't want to just sear the skin and sear the exterior of the zucchini. Of the zucchini. God damn it.
Talk about zucchini.
Yes, from the zucchini. You don't want to sear the zucchini completely off. So what I would recommend is an even heat and then slowly deep fry the zucchini for a period of about, let's say, I don't know.
What does that mean, I don't know?
It just means that, I don't know, but I would slow cook the zucchini. Then take some salt and some pepper, dump it in there. But really what I'm saying is once you're done with it, sit it on a plate, and then sit it down at a table, and then you sit at that table, and then eat it by yourself, because it's so good, there have been other people about a couple of them by the pool. All right, Phil, and as a matter of fact, I have my zucchini right now. It is absolutely delicious.
Well, where did you cook that?
At home, because I'm in a mall right now. But, oh, yes, thank you. Now they're opening. I've been standing out in front of this store. They're just now opening up the store. This is a place called The Casket.
By the way, why would they call a kitchen supply place The Casket?
Three guesses. The first two don't count. Oh.
Yeah, said you can't figure that one out?
Yeah, three guesses is right.
So you could die using their stuff.
Yeah. Now,
Well, if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, if you don't know what you're doing. So I'm going to go and I'm going to get a Zulu. Not a Zulu. It's called a not a Hulu. It's a YOLO or a Yulu. You know what a Yulu, you know what a YOLO is?
Yeah, is it that?
You're right. It's an Alaskan knife used by the Inuit people and or the Aleut people. Inuit is, I think it's a different Indian, but it was used to cut things up. Now, would you get these kids out of here before I commit homicide, please? Thank you. I'm trying to do a report on the video. All right, so that's what I'm waiting to do, and you don't have it?
No, I don't.
All right, well, then take your store and park it right back up. All right, I got to go home now, so I'll make the zucchini. All right, this is Chef Carl Cedilia, and this has been Chef Carl Cedilia's Kitchen Corner and Kitchen Hour. And
thanks a lot, Chef.
Uh-huh.
Is he... Jesus, man.
You gotta get that zucchini.
Dude, you can't say Cedilia, you can't see zucchini.
You know what, Dickman, you're all kinds of messed up. I'm Chef Galen Shaw.
You cook, General?
Do I cook? In what sense do you mean that?
You know what the sense he means.
Yes, I do. I make, as a matter of fact, I make one holy hell of a great fried egg sandwich. Now, let me tell you something about the fried egg sandwich. You don't fool around with that, friend. You fry it up good, and then you put it on a couple of pieces of bread, and then you eat it. You don't stand around staring at it, and you don't go, ooh, look at the fried egg sandwich that I made. You make it, you eat it. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, I know, but there's a lot of ways of making a fried egg sandwich. I mean, don't you,
No, I'm back. Well, people use a lot of grease.
Oh, I don't like oily things, all right? And,
What do you mean you don't like oily things?
Just what I said, you filthy, dirty piece of...
Yeah!
I never touched him. I hit my own hand.
Yeah, all right. Sound good.
Thank you.
So what about it?
What I'm saying is...
Excuse me, I was talking. I don't like oiled up things. The only thing I oil up, well, you can well imagine. Now...
You know what? All right.
So,
Well, what is everyone looking at me like I'm some sort of a disgusting thing? Like I'm something that's sitting out in the front yard and it's been just moist enough overnight for me to grow up in the fertilizer. Never mind.
Jesus, I don't know what to say to that. I was going to say...
What I'm saying is the following thing. You cannot make a fried egg sandwich and have it be greasy.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying.
You know, I don't eat fried egg sandwiches for that very reason. All right, let's kill this bull crap and let's just say that. Let's say we did when we didn't. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. Coming up, we've got Don Mixa on the hipster cities, you know.
Yeah, man.
Let's hear Robert Leonard, you listen to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Remember to support our podcast by signing up for a BSP, Backstage Pass, Massive Archive, Lion Game, Classic Podcast, Saturday Show, Friday Night Chats, exclusive pre-show prep and commentary. What if today's pre-show, man?
You barely said anything.
On this pre-show today, I was like out to lunch, Jack.
Goddamn, you changed.
Anyway, make sure you get a Backstage Pass, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Share the podcast with your friends and family. Also on social media. Do it to it.
Today. Know you heard things.
Know you. What are you, picking your nose, Phil?
No, actually, I have a... I got to get rid of this beard. I wear a beard, you know, or a mustache, whatever the hell you call it. It's got a goatee. And I don't even wear this thing right. I mean, I wear this...
God, you wear a goatee like an old man goatee.
Yes, that's not the kind of soul patch that many of the young people are wearing.
I'm not going to wear a soul patch.
What the hell's a soul patch?
It's that when you just grow that little bit of hair under your lip.
Oh, that Jack. Yeah, I see a guy like that. The first thing I think he's a commie or something. I know he's not. But you get the feel the guy's some sort of a bohemian creep. And he wants to undermine the very world you live in as he walks around. Now let me just say... I know a lot of these creeps like to wear their soul patch and go out and blow a saxophone until their brains blow out of their ears, and that's fine. But when any of these creeps put that soul patch on and then they're slinking down some steps into a basement somewhere to go to a meeting with another creep, And you know what the Bible says? Wherever two or more creeps are gathered together...
Well, that's what a Communist Party is?
Yeah, that's for the Communist Party. I guess it's not the Bible, but they,
Let's just call it the Bible of General Galen Shaw.
Well, all right, you can if you want. Wherever two or more creeps are gathered in my name... Well,
wherever... Will you get out of here with the Bible?
Well, what, where...
Doug, where was that?
Where was that?
Look, if that happens to be a feeling that you have, that where you see one or more guys with a soul patch, they're talking about the Communist Party?
Yes, that I'll go that far. I will extend myself that far.
All right, well, it's the typical paranoia.
I forgot that I was in the presence of the guy that really reads it. Yeah, man.
I think General Phil is absolutely right. That it's an extremely paranoid and extremely... I don't think it's realistic to say that just because a man wears a beard... Oh, it's ridiculous. Why are we even talking about this?
You know, do you really think that?
Do I really think some guy wants to walk around looking like a freak on a leash? Yes. Get out of here, man.
No, I mean, come on. What about a guy that just plays the jazz?
Any guy that wears a soul patch and just plays the jazz, as you say it, man, he better have a recording contract with Verve for 40 years before I believe that guy ain't a commie.
Oh, come on. You nuts or something?
Phil, this country is at grave risk. Now, just the other day, I was listening to Dennis Prager, one of those assholes, and...
Yeah, there you go again. There you go with that whole thing, man. That whole... You know, it just flips me out the way you guys are down with all that stuff. You cannot... I don't think you can be an adult and listen to that talk radio for very long, that conservative talk radio, without losing your perspective and, if not, your mind. All right, I have to segue here, okay?
Yes, go ahead.
All right, we're going to segue. We got Don Mixa on the line. He's in Seattle, Washington. Don is going to talk to us for a brief second here about the top hipster cities. Don, I know you're doing some urban studies or urban planning, whatever it is.
Good morning, Phil. Yeah, we're here at the Prowster, which is a mall. It's a video arcade, and we've been called in. I've got two members of my class and some other young people who are auditing the class here today, because what we want to do is we want to take a look at the way... Give me that. I'm sorry.
You sound like you were. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just getting over a little bit of a cold. And give me that glass of milk, will you?
There's that glass of milk again. Are you smoking?
Yeah, let's just get off the breath thing for today, Phil, because I'm in no mood to talk about my funky breath when we have other things that we want to talk about, and that is that the video arcade, the gaming arcade is becoming a thing of the past as more and more young people are enjoying these games at home, but they are transitioning to something that's a bit more interesting, and these are the virtual reality games that many adults are beginning to play, especially when you're talking about golf or you're talking about bowling or games like that. So we're here studying this space, and we're here looking at what we can do with these arcades. Besides have an arcade here, what we'd like to do is just throw a roof, stick a dynamite in here and blow this thing to hell and back. Okay, here you go. So that's what we're doing here, Phil. But getting on to what you were discussing with me earlier, and that is the hipster city. And we'd seen the article here, and I think it was online at CNN, that there are a great many cities that are considered to be great hipster cities. And one of them is a city that I'm in right now, Seattle, Washington.
Now, let me ask you something, Don. What is a hipster city?
Well, I think a hipster city is any city that has the things a hipster likes. The hipsters enjoy wild clothing. They love coffee, the nightlife, different acoustic or alternative kinds of music. So they're big on many of your alternative groups, which I think you probably can well imagine which ones those are, Phil. Anywhere from, for instance, you're talking about Linkin Park. You're going to be talking about Henry Rollins. These are some of the old groups, Garbage, just the Foo Fighters. The kinds of bands that I think traditional bands.
No, those are some old school bands, though.
Well, they're old school, but I'm trying to give you some names of groups you're going to relate to. Los Lobos, Vampire Weekend, Talking Heads, Sublime. These are the standard alternative groups, and these are groups that I think your hipster's going to like. The other thing that they want is clothing, hats and wild-looking jock straps. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is, with these hipster cities, list of hipster cities, you're going to see more and more of these, I think, kinds of neighborhoods springing up elsewhere.
Now, what about Austin, Texas, San...
Oh, yeah. Austin, Texas, another one.
Yeah, Austin, Texas, I know that for the longest time because of the music scene there, but I didn't know that you would call it hipster so much as it was just a place where people who like good music would congregate.
Now, what are you talking about a hipster? You talking about like a beatnik or something?
Well, I think beatnik is a good word for it. I think hipsters are a lot of things. If nothing, they're fashioned conscious, but they're not filthy, dirty bohemians. I think the thing between, to define a hipster, I think, is to say that a hipster is someone who's not a filthy, dirty, grimy piece of garbage. And I think you were talking, General Shaw, earlier about commies, soul patches. Those are bohemians. Those are people that are going to play jazz during the evening hours and during the daytime when they're awake and they're not nodding off from a heroin addiction. They're going to go down into a cellar or some sort of a sewer and go to a communist party meeting.
Now we're getting kind of off the beaten path here, aren't we?
No, I don't think we are. I think this is exactly the point, Phil, that the hipster is not a an insurgent. The hipster is not a cultural revolutionary. The hipster is just someone who enjoys a certain aspect of life, and
So you're saying they're rather mainstream?
I think so. I think the hipster is mainstream.
Yeah, I got a couple of friends of mine as hipsters, and none of the music they like is anything that I like.
Well, what are you talking about, man? You like Foo Fighter?
Like the what?
Don't you like the Foo Fighter?
Yeah, like Foo Fighter, man, but don't call that hipster.
Well, I was just using that as an example. I mean, you can Fall Out Boy is one, James Bay, Coleman Hell, Imagine Dragons, bands like that.
Yeah, well, Imagine Dragons, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, you hate them, too.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you may, but maybe you're not a hipster.
No, I'm not a hipster. I'm never going to be not no hipster. I'm what you, what's that one?
Oh, so you're a bohemian, so you're a filthy, dirty commie. And you want to,
No, I'm not a commie or anything like that.
But then you ain't nothing, man.
Maybe I ain't nothing.
Never mind what you are. All right, so Don, thank you for that appraisal. Now, we're getting on to the other cities. Margaret mentioned Austin.
Yeah, Austin's a great hipster city. The other hipster city is, you have Portland, Oregon, just headed to the south of me right here. Portland, Oregon, they say, was the birth of the hipster city. And I don't think there's any doubt about it that the hipster in Portland is another one of those cities that imagines itself to be, very, very hip. And it is a very hip city when you talk about if hip is something that is mainstream and you see it in magazines, then that's Portland. There's another hipster city, Phil.
If hip is mainstream and you see it in magazines, so what does that mean?
It means that hip used to be something that wasn't, necessarily going to be heralded in a magazine, in a front page story, or no one was going to go, oh, wow, they're bohemians. And excuse me for saying this, I'll just start whacking off to it,
Well, we can hear every word there.
Well, you're the one that invented the Margaret Mumble.
Well, you wouldn't say that. You would say it's the...
Well, I don't like to do it that way, Margaret, because I want people to know what I'm talking about.
All right, so we understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying hipster is, if hipster was bohemian and hipster was truly subversive, if you want to call it that, you wouldn't be whacking off to it every time.
All right, we got it already, Mixer. God damn.
All right, well, I thought it was okay to talk about that. All right, if I got it wrong, I got it wrong. I thought it was, I had to talk about it. All right, so the next thing would be Portland, Maine, Phil.
What are you saying? Portland, Oregon, right?
Oh, and also, General, Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine is a very much hipster city and continues to be. So you've got, Seattle, you got Portland, Oregon, you got Portland, Maine, you got Austin, and there's one more, and I can't remember what the fuck the name of the...
Would you watch your language, please?
I'm sorry, I can't remember what the... we'll figure it out, all right? I'll figure it out until I get back to you. How about that?
All right, so these are the hipster cities. So if I'm a hipster, whatever that is, I'm going to go there and...
Yeah, well, no, you're starting to sound like an old... creep now, Phil. And,
well, I'm really sorry, but I can't keep up on every fashion trend.
You see, calling it a fashion trend...
Yeah, Phil, that's a little disrespectful.
Well, that's what you guys are saying. You're not saying that it's necessarily a bohemian subcultural thing. You say it's a fashion statement.
It's a fashion statement that wants to be taken as a bohemian subculture. Imagine this. It's a bohemian subculture that doesn't want to move out on its own yet. It still wants to live with its parents.
Oh, I see. All right. Not shit.
No, that sounds like a cut up. Lightweight.
No, I don't think it's lightweight at all. I think it's the reality, okay? Hello, welcome to the planet Earth. That's what we're talking about right now.
All right, Don, thank you very much for that little overview there of the top hipster cities in America. We'll be talking to you a little bit later on in the week, huh?
We will. Seinfeld. And remember, I'm not trying to say it. I'm just saying that a bohemian is one who is closer to the sewer.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot.
And I love bohemians, I think.
It's Don Mixa, and that is his take on the whole hipster thing, man. Man, Phil Henry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
You know, I got a problem here, man. Are we going to get done with the show in time?
Well, you know, Phil, you're dragging your ass out of bed a little bit late here in the early morning hours, and you know that you have Alex and the rest of the crew standing by to edit and upload and download and all of that. Just hold
on. All right, folks, Margaret and Larry Grover next on The Big Pivot.
Hello, everyone. This is Margaret Gray, and I will be talking with you in just a moment about something that's very important in terms of the news of the day. But I don't think of anything that could be more important when it comes to the news of the day than for you to go over and write a rating or write a review, a good review, and give us a good rating on iTunes. You talk about the latest in the news. You talk about the very latest and the most up-to-date information you could possibly have. That's reading that Phil Henry's website and Phil Henry's podcast, Phil Henry himself, is rated through the roof, double plus good, as they say in 1984.
Well, there's a great comparison.
Look, we're all headed there, so we might as well make the best out of it. As we head toward the nightmare world of a police state, as it was outlined in 1984, just remember that Phil Henry is double plus good.
Phil Henry Show is double plus good. No, from the George Orwellians to you.
Ain't that great, man? Who wrote that?
No, I just whipped it together.
We whipped it together.
Yeah, when we weren't whacking off over, the hipsters or whatever the hell it is.
Whacking off.
Ain't that what that mixer said?
Yeah, no, he said he was whacking off over jazz.
Jesus God, you guys are as vile as it gets. All right, man. Welcome back to our program here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now, Larry Grover is in Culver City, California right now. He is at he's over at the print fair in Culver City. He works for the print shop there in Culver City. Larry, you are doing a little bit of business today as well as hanging with us here on the Phil Henry Show. How are you?
Doing very, very well, Phil. And yeah, we are here at the print fair in Culver City now through Saturday. So come out and see how the printing process has really improved and how you can have really great-looking letterhead and cards. And we're asking people, you don't necessarily have to do it. I know the technology exists where you're able to, make this stuff yourself.
Well, if I could make this myself, why would I go to you?
That's my whole point, General. If you could just see your way to supporting me, you know, come over and have us do it. You don't sit there. Well, I'll use the word that your good friend there, Mr. Mixie, used. You don't sit there whacking off and making a mess out of it.
All right, let's not use that phrase. And what makes you think that anybody that is going to print their own stuff is going to make a mess out of it?
Yes, I think that is assuming.
Wait, what are you? You're all ganging up on me? I'm over here trying to keep my business afloat.
It's not your business anyway. It's a place you got stuck after you lost your job up there in Bakersfield as some kind of an oil company executive.
Thank you for reminding me. Thank you for reminding me that I'm sleeping on a cot.
All right, Larry, let's move off of that and let's talk about what Margaret would like to talk about, because she was reading this morning that Trey Gowdy...
That ain't the same guy who was a sports guy either.
Yeah, we know that, man. Nobody's even making that mistake.
Talk about Kurt Gowdy, right?
We're not talking about Kurt Gowdy. We're talking about Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, Trey Gowdy is a South Carolina congressman. He's a former prosecutor and a very good one. And Trey, I'll tell you that Trey Gowdy, for my way of thinking, is one of the hot, smart young guys on the scene in the Republican Party. The only problem with Trey Gowdy is his head goes to I don't know what it is. I've tried to reach out to his mother. I've tried to...
You really think that you're going to make an issue out of that? This is a man that you actually admire.
Yeah, well, I've seen pictures of him, sir.
Trey Gowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so have I. So what?
Well, you know, I don't know. This guy, Grover...
Yeah, this guy, Grover, you're right. This guy, Grover, might have a point. I don't think you're going to get very far in terms of public opinion and perception on any issue when you have a guy whose head is narrower at the top than his neck. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't. Yes, I do, and you're being an asshole, okay?
All right, fine. I'm just telling you.
You don't have to tell me anything.
Well, this is the guy that's saying that he wants to pivot away from Hillary Clinton being one of the reasons for Benghazi. He wants to pivot away from that and just look basically into the Benghazi. You know?
Let me tell you what's going on with Benghazi.
Excuse me, Phil. This is a discussion I'm having with Mr. Grover.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Margaret.
First of all, I don't know what you mean by pivot away. I happen to be a great admirer of Hillary Clinton, but I do not like the idea of all of a sudden washing one's hands of the Hillary Clinton effect. I think you can look into it more. And if you keep digging, I think you are definitely going to, if not find her fingerprints, you will find the stink of Hillary Clinton.
Now, this is a very interesting point of view for somebody who has very unabashedly called herself a liberal all of these years. And I will say this, Margaret, I don't necessarily disagree with you. But why do you have this opinion?
I'll tell you why I have this opinion. I don't think that Hillary Clinton is necessarily the very best candidate the Democratic Party can have right now. I think Bernie Sanders.
Holy Christ!
No! You're not talking about Bernie Sanders as a card-carrying commie.
No, he is not.
Wait! How many people are going to be talking here?
I'll speak for you, General. I'll speak for myself, and I'll speak for a hell of a lot of people. Bernie Sanders is a card-carrying communist. And there's no way in hell that guy is ever going to get elected president.
All right, are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
First of all, Bernie Sanders is a socialist, yes, and that does not necessarily mean communist. That means a man who is looking toward the future in terms of how this country functions as a community.
Margaret?
As a community. And I think it doesn't necessarily mean commie.
All right, well, we can have that discussion on another day. But you like Bernie Sanders, you think Hillary Clinton is too right-wing, that's your business. I'll tell you right now, though, the big pivot has started, and...
But what is this big pivot?
They're pivoting away from... it was a word that Donald Trump used. They're pivoting away from Hillary Clinton, and they're going more into the general direction that Benghazi was a big foul-up. That it wasn't anybody's individual fault, just a big foul-up.
Yeah, that's what they're thinking, see? And
well, now, aren't you guys just interesting? I don't know how many months, how many years we've been hearing about what a scumbag Hillary Clinton is. Now it's the big pivot.
Yes, it is the big pivot, Phil. And I think that it is wrong. I think they need to go after Hillary Clinton with everything they've got. Because I think Bernie Sanders is best for the party. And no, I don't think that he is a knuckle-dragging commie, as the general might think.
I didn't say he's knuckle-dragging. No. None of those commies are knuckle-draggers. They're all real whiz kids. They got brains. That's the thing that scares me about them.
Yeah, you know, the general is right on the money this morning. We cannot afford a Bernie Sanders. I'd rather have Hillary Clinton as president of the United States than some communist whose only idea of success, economic success, and societal success in America is by making trade unions take over everything, by taking the people that own companies and throwing them into cages and laughing at them and throwing them bananas, so that when you have a capitalist, a man who's put his money up and put his money where his mouth is, now all you do is stick him in a cage and throw a banana at him, and so you've got a capitalist in a cage going, you know, that monkey sound, however you do that.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
Yeah, right there, what Dickman did. And
okay, so you know how to do a... we agree. Don't make me sorry for the fact that I agree with you, okay?
Okay, God, I thought I was...
All right, so you guys this morning are saying, A, the big pivot away from Hillary Clinton has taken place because... Because why?
Because this is going to be better for the Republican Party as we move toward the elections. You don't want the American people looking at the Republican Party like it's a pack of nuts. I'm pretending to hang up.
Why are you losing your temper?
Because I think it's frustrating, Phil. We got a lot of people. I think this guy, and I know you're going to be speaking here in a moment with this guy Basel, but this guy Ted Cruz is a disaster. And a lot of these people are perceived to be mentally unsound.
Well, that's the case, and so they're the big pivot away from Hillary Clinton is so that they don't look like a bunch of mentally unsound clowns. That's all.
All right. I mean, that sounds sensible to me.
Well, I don't think it's mentally unsound to look into Hillary Clinton's background as the Secretary of State and the one that was calling the shots security-wise for the Benghazi. And I might as well start using the French because I want people to take this issue very, very seriously. The Benghazi And other things that she's been involved in, I think, are very, very suspect. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay! You can lock out with your name all you want, Margaret. But the facts are these. We got the big pivots on.
Oh, will you knock it off with the big pivot?
Well, that's what Donald Trump calls it.
Isn't that nice? Call him up and tell him that you called it the big pivot and tell him you did your job for the day.
So you think I'm nothing more than some kind of a punk lackey for Trump, huh?
I don't know. I don't know. Who are you voting for?
Trump.
So you just called yourself out there, buddy.
Yeah, well, speak for yourself. I'm
not saying I'm voting for Trump. I'm just saying that we got to move away from the nutcases, just like you're saying, and get this party back on track.
All right, well, look, I would not necessarily disagree with any of that. I appreciate your talking with us today, Larry.
Is that it? Because I got a lot more.
Yes, I have a lot more.
Well, you have a lot more, and he has a lot more, but I don't have a lot more patience for this.
That grammatically isn't right, Mr. Reed.
Yeah, you carve that one up.
Well, it's going to have to do. Thank you very much. Oh, my God, I'm going to get a headache from that goddamn print fair that he's at. World-famous Phil Henry Show coming back here very, very briefly with Steve Bozell. And he's going to be talking with us about the laws of the Constitution. What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. I think there's something in that. He says, where is it constitutional to break laws?
What? What does that mean?
That's because he thinks that Ted Cruz is going to say that.
Yeah, okay. Phil Henry Show.
Bud Dickman reminding you to visit our YouTube channel, youtube.com/TheRealBudDickman. When you go there, then you can see whole shows. You can see whole sections, whole slices of, it's not like it's a deli or anything. Go see the Phil Henry Show and go over there and check it out. That's youtube.com/ThePhilHenryShow.
No, it ain't /PhilHenryShow.
You carved that up. It's Real Bud Dickman.
Sorry.
All right, let's get Steve Bozell on here really, really fast because we are running out of time here this morning. It's just been, it's not been the, this ain't been the smartest week, I'll tell you that, in terms of handling things. Steve, good morning to you. Sorry that we are getting to you a little bit late here. Nice to talk to you. Are you at the same mall that Chef Trigilio was at?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I came over here and I wanted to pick out a pot and a pan, and I saw Jeff DeGillian standing there, and I couldn't get in the store because he was blocking the entrance, so I decided to just come over here and get myself a Starbucks. But I'll be back. Don't worry about that much. I will be back.
All right, now, Bozell, what are you talking about? Which laws are constitutional to break?
First of all, I wanted to mention just one thing, as I heard you talking about Friar Tuck. Friar Tuck, Phil, if you don't mind.
Friar Tuck.
Yes, you were talking about Friar Tuck as you were watching Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, Friar Tuck traditionally has been seen as an oaf, if you would. He's fat, he's round, and he has a jolly and surprised look on his face. All right. And you were commenting about Friar Tuck being a round, fat man and with his eyes bugged out, and he's all, jolly. But let's remember one thing about Friar Tuck. Friar Tuck kicked Robin Hood's ass. Just remember that.
Okay, I'll remember that, man.
All right. Now,
what difference does that make?
It makes a difference to me. That's all I'm saying. It makes a difference to me. Now, we're talking here about Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz was in support of the lady there in Tennessee or wherever the hell it was. I forget. Remember that gay woman? Or not the gay woman. She didn't want to marry no gays.
Yeah. Kim Davis.
Kim Davis, yeah. He said that he supported her 100%, even though she was a officer of the court. She was a an elected official, and she had to uphold the law. He said, "Well, I support her 100%." Now, that's basically a guy running for president who's saying that he supports someone that's breaking the law. Now, here's what I would say to that. Some people are going to say that Ted Cruz is running for president while he supports someone breaking the law, but I say the following thing. Have you ever heard of George Washington? Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard of George. What about it?
Yeah, what about it?
Okay, you don't know that George Washington went out and waged war against the British. God, you guys are really slow.
Don't rely on us to necessarily make the connection here, Steve. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about George Washington, the first president of the United States, went out and broke the law. He waged war against the Canadians. Or, I'm sorry.
Against the British, oh, God.
Against the, I was going to say the British. I was thinking the Canadians was British, too, weren't they?
Yes, yes. All right. So George Washington waged war against the existing laws at that time to change them and to create another country.
Right, but that's what he did.
Well, then that's fine, man. And then I guess what we should do is just break every law. Is that it?
No, not break every law. But you can break some laws that are good to break. That don't cause no problems.
Don't cause no problem. You got people who want to get married because they happen to be gay to you, but breaking that law isn't a problem.
Don't make me sound, Mr. Henry, like I'm a turd, like I'm just a turd on the beach. I'm trying to.
Well, you know what, Bozell? That's exactly what you are. You're just something else that I'm going to get stuck on my foot as I walk into my brand new carpeted condominium.
What?
Okay, so what are you saying?
I just said it. You got to break laws in order for you to do good.
Yes, well, Steve, you can. Anybody could say that. Anyone could say, well, let's just break all the laws because I want to do good, and I want to do what I think is right.
All right, and then you can change the country that way.
No, Steve.
Well, then what were you saying about civil disobedience and everything being the right way to go?
If there are grossly unjust laws, grossly unjust that the people have found to be unjust, and that there is let's just put it this way, that there is a large, massive groundswell of support for, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to jail. If you break the law, you got to go to jail. Whether you're civil disobedience or not, whether it's a matter of conscience or not, you must go to jail.
So now you're saying that somebody who's doing good. See, I don't understand this.
Look, Bozell, you got to get better prepared. If you're going to talk about civil disobedience, understand what you're saying. You may admire a man for breaking the law, but that guy's still got to go to jail. You got to go to jail. You cannot refuse going to jail. If you look at all the great people who were practicing civil disobedience, they all went to jail because they knew they were breaking the law.
All right, so you go to jail, and then what?
What do you mean, then what?
I'm saying there's got to be a better way. And that's what Ted Cruz is saying. He's saying... Or the other guy,
Mike Huckabee.
Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, Mike Huckabee. And
will you cut it out with that French, Margaret?
No, I will not cut it out. When it comes to proper pronunciation, no, I will never cut it out. The Benghazi and Mike Huckabee.
So all you do is put the accent on the last syllable. So Phil's name is Phil Hendry.
No, Phil's name is Scottish. It's Hendry. But...
Go ahead, Steve.
You want me to talk?
Yeah.
All right. Well, my name's Steve Bozell.
No, you're talking about...
Oh, yeah. I'm saying that Ted Cruz and also Mike Huckabee are people that are saying, break the law, don't let no gay get married, because it's good for your conscience. But no, you don't want to break laws all over the place.
Well, isn't that just really clear? And especially a guy that's running for president of the United States, to know that he is being that clear...
Look, Mr. Henry... What I'm saying is, if you break the law, let's say you don't want to have no gay get married. So you break the law and you don't let them get married.
Right.
Then you go to jail.
Yes.
Well, what?
Yeah.
Then Ted Cruz said that he supported that.
Right.
You know what?
Look at Steve, don't get yourself all in a heap about these matters.
Look, don't talk to me like I'm some mental, like I've got a head that's about the size of Trey Gowdy's, okay? And I realize he's got a squished-in head. I realize that.
That was the word I was looking for, squished-in, yeah.
Okay, but...
All right, Steve, but go back to the drawing board on this one and see if you can't come up with something better, and I'm sure that there are a lot of people that make a far better argument than you've made this morning.
So thanks a lot, man. I might as well be sitting there on TV right now with a flattened head like that guy, Trey Gowdy.
Yeah, well, I tell you what you do. Go and get a picture of yourself, Photoshop it so you look like you've got a flattened head just like that Trey Gowdy.
That man, Phil, I think is... What's happened to him, I think, is very tragic. I think his daughter has turned him in one too many times.
His daughter's turned him... Oh, turned him in. I thought she turned him out.
I didn't say that.
All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show... For how long it'll be world famous is anybody's guess. It's produced by... Yeah, go ahead. It's executive produced, by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. Jesus. All right, see you guys tomorrow. Thanks so much for hanging with us, and we'll get it figured out somehow.
Yeah, Brian Fryer Tuck is a fat ass.